Eric, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
Doing very well, and Brendan Gallagher still has 1 year left on that deal. But as you outline in the article, the organization does seem to understand the importance he has, not just currently, but moving forward, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mark Bergevin did a little interview in French yesterday, and he was asked, you know, you look at Gallagher and his stature with the team and the fact that he's been referred to several times by the coaching staff as the heartbeat of the Canadians. You know, he was asked point blank if in an ideal world, Brendan Gallagher would be a Montreal Canadian for life. And Bergevin said, absolutely. And in assessing what Gallagher brings to the table, he said, you know, we've had scorers in the past where if you go five games and they don't have a goal, there's not much else going on. But that's never the case with Brendan. So I think they understand what his value is. I think he understands what his own value is, especially coming off what turned out to be one of the best value deals in the NHL, a six-year deal that he signed at an entry level worth $22.5 million for an average salary of $3.75 million, not to bore you guys with all the numbers, but here's a guy who scored 30 goals twice since then and is a consistent performer. And, you know, you look at what I would think is probably the easiest comparable is a guy like Chris Kreider in New York, who's signed his contract extension this February at the same exact age that Gallagher will be when he's up for a new contract. And, you know, I think Kreider got 7 years, $6.75 million a year. You know, something similar is what Brendan Gallagher will be hoping for. And as far as Montreal is concerned, you know, they see the value in the player. Whether or not they'll go that far or with that much of a cap hit is to be determined based on the financial realities of the pandemic. But, you know, we just saw Jonas Brodin sign a long-term deal in Minnesota. I'm not suggesting a forward and a defenseman are comparable, but it was interesting to see that happen, knowing what we know about the financial realities of the NHL. And I don't know if teams will be all that fearful to get players signed to terms. So here's a guy that has obviously earned it, and let's see how it develops.
He's still got another year, as you mentioned. Then he becomes an unrestricted free agent if they don't get an extension done, which is obviously likely in Montreal. Max Domi's a restricted free agent. What is the latest on his standing in that organization?
You know what? I think everybody has generally assumed that Max Domi's got one foot out the door with the Canadiens, and I wouldn't suggest that it's, you know, ridiculous speculation at this point. We know that he's a centerman, that he views himself that way, that the Canadians view him that way as well, and that the picture at center has become understandably crowded with the advent of Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Nick Suzuki proving that he's a potential number one line center, and Philip Deneau in that picture as well. You know, obviously Max needs a contract right now. He's a restricted free agent with arbitration rights. We'll see how that situation gets settled. I think that's the first order of business before we start talking about will he be traded or won't he be traded or what the opportunities are. Granted, the market could open up and offers could come Montreal's way that would have them consider moving him one way or another, but I don't think they're in any rush in this situation. In fact, I don't think it's impossible that we get to training camp whenever that will be. And a competition shakes out between Suzuki, Kotkaniemi, Domi, Deneau for who's going to get the lion's share of the playing time. And, you know, Max Domi is a year removed from a 72-point season and a 28-goal output. Granted, those were far and above his career averages, and he kind of returned to the mean this season. But, you know, he's right on the cusp of being, you know, a full product in the NHL. And I don't think it's beyond him to produce near the same level that he did in his first season with Montreal. And as far as the Canadians are concerned, they're not just looking to get rid of him. It's not the situation that they're in. They know what kind of valuable player he can be to their lineup if he stays. They're a team that needs offense, and he can produce it at an elite level if he plays at the height of his abilities. And I think, you know, right now, Mark Bergevin is just in a really good situation in terms of how he's positioned with the cap, in terms of all the options he has on his team that I just went over, in terms of having one of the best prospect pools in hockey and 11 picks in the upcoming draft now. And, you know, he's going to have his ears and his eyes wide open here for opportunities to improve the Canadiens. But it's not just going to be, let's move this part out and that part out just so we can make the pieces fit better. He's got good assets at his disposal that he's not in a rush to do anything.
in conversation with Eric Engels of Sportsnet in Montreal this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show. So when Matt Dumba's name came up yesterday, we heard what Minnesota would be looking for if they were to move Matt Dumba. What gets Mark Bergevin's ears percolating? What does he need to hear if someone is interested in Max Domi?
You know what? That's a really tough question to answer. I see that they've made some moves on defense, and I think they're comfortable with what they have in terms of Joel Edmondson, and most likely he'll end up with a contract from here over the next couple of weeks. I know they're in negotiations. You know, if they were there already and decided, they'd have a deal announced, but we're not there yet. I think he's comfortable with what he has back there. I think it's obvious that the Canadians have a pretty desperate need for a scoring winger with some size to him. So, you know, I don't know if that's the type of deal you make one for one with Domi going the other way, or if there's a package that Mark Bergevin considers. And it all depends. I hate to speak in general terms like this, you know, but you're asking me a kind of a speculative question here. And I prefer to always go with what I'm hearing and what I can report versus the speculation. So I am speaking in general terms because you really don't know who's potentially available and what you can work out. I think Mark Bergevin, you look at his trade record over the last number of years, he's done a great job on the bargain side, and he's managed to kind of turn a dollar into $1.50 almost every time he's gotten involved in a deal. So, you know, the latest one that really comes to mind is the Nick Suzuki and Thomas Tatar and a pick that ended up being Matthias Norlander, who I think is going to be a quality NHL defenseman for Max Pacioretty. You know, so I don't think anybody saw that deal coming, and that's why I'm so kind of careful about how I speculate about what Mark might be able to pull off if he's going to move a Max Domi or if he's going to move a Phil Deneau, which I don't think he is, but we know that name has been out there, so let's just go with it. I'm interested as anybody else is, and if some information comes my way, it won't be kept in my bank. It'll be out on Twitter or in a conversation like I'm having with you guys.
I know it will. So if we look at the Canadians up front and we say, okay, they could use a little more size, they could use some high-end offense, which of those two needs do you consider more important?
I don't think they're mutually exclusive. You know, you're looking for a player that brings that package. You know, I look at a player like Josh Anderson in Columbus. I don't know what the future holds for him. I know that he had a pretty bad injury situation this last year. The offense wasn't there as a result. I don't know what the intentions are in Columbus. I know that's a name that we heard about leading into the deadline. I think that's a name that the Canadians would be interested in, but I don't know what their homework is generated in terms of finding out what the health situation is with Anderson and what the price would be to acquire a player like that. But that's the kind of player, that profile. I'm not saying the Canadians are going after Anderson. That's the profile of player that they could really, it would really help their roster if they could acquire something like that.
Yeah, certainly. And there's a lot of other teams that would be lining up if they think they can get Josh Anderson, what we saw from a couple of years ago, as opposed to the guy who was injured last season. Last question for you as this team moves forward. How much did what happened in the bubble and upsetting Pittsburgh and playing pretty tough in the second round change Mark Bergevin's opinion on what this team is next year?
You know what? The best value in that whole situation for him and from his perspective is the clarity it offered him. You know, he knows what he has on his hands now. It's something he wouldn't have known had the Canadians just finished their season in March with the 24th best record and no playoff tournament had taken place. And you don't read too deeply into a 10-game sample. I understand that. But that's not to say you don't take things away from it. And when you see the way Jesperi Kotkaniemi elevated his game and the way he came back and the way Nick Suzuki kind of delivered on what you thought he might be at the top end of his prospect kind of outlook, you know, you can draw some pretty firm conclusions there, which is that these guys are the players you expected that they would be. And, you know, that the 4-month layoff between March and them returning to phase three training camp was almost like an entire offseason and coming back to a new season and with those physical and mental improvements involved. And you look at Jesperi Kotkaniemi's season on the whole, it was a really difficult situation, a classic sophomore slump type of season that was injury plagued and raised a lot of questions in terms of what his value was to the Canadians in relation to what they saw him as. And, you know, it's hard not to make the argument that sometimes struggle and adversity and strife is a very worthwhile process. You know, I think we saw a lot of maturity from Kotkaniemi physically in the playoffs. I think what we saw from a mental perspective was a player who learned some hard lessons and really understands now what's required in order for him to fulfill his promise. And, you know, what more can you be, you can't be any more excited about the process for the Canadiens than when you look up the middle of the roster and see that a hole that's been there for over two plus decades is suddenly filled. And now there's a depth situation there that has created the buzz that potentially a center could be moving out of town, that depth is there. You know, that's the foundation of good hockey teams, is right up the middle. And the Canadiens have that now. And to have that clarity for a guy like Bergevin, who has several key free agents in a year from now, and how he's positioned in terms of the cap, with a flat cap for the next 2 years and plenty of space and the prospect pool he has, you know, that the picture's just that much more clear, and it's easier for him to navigate and fill the holes in the roster now that he knows what he has. So it's what an incredibly valuable experience for a team that, if you had asked them before they went into the playoffs, they would have probably said, you know, in an ideal world, we'll give Pittsburgh everything they can handle and lose in five games and gain that kind of experience, and we'll be able to draft in, you know, ninth at worst and potentially first overall with Alexis Lafreniere. And I think if you ask them now in hindsight if they would trade in beating the Penguins and giving the Flyers all they could handle, let's face it, like, if you watch that series as closely as I did, there's no doubt the Canadiens could have and probably should have won it. I don't think they would trade that to go back to that position where they'd be drafting the top 10. So that's like found money for this organization. And now it's time to see how they leverage it.
Eric, excellent stuff as always. I look forward to reconnecting here during the course of this offseason. Be well, and thank you very much for your time.
You too, anytime.